did something to her, that low, vibrant tone. It made her heart turn over in her breast. It made her feel shy, afraid, humble, and yet suddenly arrogantly glad. She said quite simply, "Yes." He came nearer, still dazed, still only half believing. Then suddenly he took her hand. "It is you," he said. "You're real. I thought at first you were a ghost, because I've been thinking about you so much." He paused and then said, "I love you, you know. I have from the moment I saw you on the train. I know that now, and I want you to know it so that you'll know it isn't me, the real me, who behaves so caddishly. You see, I can't answer for myself. Even now, I might do anything. I might pass you by or cut you, but I do want you to know that it isn't me, the real me, who is responsible for that. It's my nerves. I can't depend on them. When she tells me to do things, I do them. My nerves make me. You will understand, won't you? Despise me if you have to," she interrupted him. Her voice was low and unexpectedly sweet. "I won't despise you. All the same, I'm pretty despicable. I ought to be able to behave like a man." It was partly an echo of Gerard's advice, but more out of her own knowledge and hope that Sarah answered. And behind the sweetness of her voice, there was a ring of certainty and conscious authority. "You will now." "Shall I?" His voice was wistful. "Perhaps. You'll have courage now. I'm sure of it." He drew himself up, flung back his head. "Courage? Yes. That's all that's needed. Courage." Suddenly, he bent his head, touched her hand with his lips. A minute later, he had left her.